Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Welcome back to Good Food Mercantile in San Francisco. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network On Tour. I'm Katie Mosman-Wadler, and I'm here with my co-host, Liza Hamm. Hi, Liza.
Hi there.
And our very special guest right now is Eli Cairo, founder of Olympia Provisions. Welcome, Eli.
Yay. Thanks for having me. You guys are the best.
Thanks for being on. No, you're the best. Well, tell us, you've been kind of back on the showroom floor here. What's the scene out there like?
It's just awesome. It's like one of my favorite days of the entire year. You know, it's you get to walk around the this gigantic room with some of the most talented makers, I think, in all of America. And it's just fascinating how good stuff's gotten since they've started in 2010. Like, I mean, it was always delicious, but right now it's like everything you taste is like mind-bogglingly delicious. And everybody's so inspirational and doing such awesome things. And it's just elevating, and it's, you know, it's very nice to see because our country's in a weird spot right now, and to come into here and it's all positive and people trying and doing awesome things. It's really, really great.
Amazing. Did you get a chance to meet anyone new out there?
New?
Right now?
I did. Well, Allagash, the brewery, is. I just met with them and talked about what they're doing with all their barleys and whatnots, and it's kind of amazing and delicious, and I'm very happy that I drank a beer before I came here.
Incredible. And you're currently drinking a beer as you're on air with us.
But didn't bring any for us.
I mean, it I know. Is,
we didn't make a note of that.
I asked you if you needed anything.
Well, there's need and there's
and
like
want.
Nice to
I
have and need to
a
have.
Beer upon you. That's classic.
That's
me.
Okay. We've got to make a lap out to the back in a little bit
I can
bit
go
here.
Get this after this interview. I will go get you beers.
Well, sort of on this theme of helping each other out, one of the themes that we've been talking about that was a big part of the awards ceremony last night is the theme of collaboration. And we wanted to ask you, with Olympia Provisions, have there been any collaborators sort of in your orbit that have been surprisingly great for your business?
Yes. Well, we have been collaborating. I think the biggest thing is with the Oregon Department of Agriculture that we've been working for. It's been an amazing collaboration with trying to figure out where the pork industry is in Oregon and using their resources and their power to get the ball moving for some of the topics that our farmers are looking for. It's been an awesome collaboration where they're actually working with us. The USDA also, they're kind of, you know, positioned as a, you know, a hurdle for meat plants to get over, but they've been an amazing organization to collaborate. They're happy that this little small company is trying to do it right, and they're working with us to do some cool stuff. So this year's been an amazing collaboration with kind of official bodies of federal government that's been kind of amazing for us.
That's a little bit of a surprise to hear. We don't hear that too often.
Yeah, I think
especially USDA from charcuterie makers.
Yeah, USDA's cool. They're great. I mean, we need them in our country for the food system. Yeah. As these new companies come on, they should know their food science. They should be producing safe things, because that could hurt the movement if not. And they're just really, really working with us on everything, giving us all the support to do our documents and make the meat we want to make, and working with smaller farms and doing all the cool stuff that we want to do.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure I get this correct. Uh-huh. You are a 12-time winner here?
12-time winner.
Jeez Louise.
I know. Impressive. I love it. It makes me super happy. I know. It freaks me out. Now it's like, it's intimidating. We only won one this year. I don't mean that in a weird way, but my sister's like literally nervous about it. She's like, you only won one, Eli. Like, what, are you slipping? Like, step it up, bud. Like, what's going on? It's a nice caliber for what we're doing, you know, as we grow. And right, 2009, when we won our first three, I was a one-man shop and one little restaurant with three employees. Now we're what? 170 employees, 5 restaurants distributed across the nation, working on a slaughterhouse and buying our own farm. But if your product stays good and it still passes through the Good Food Award, to me, I'm kind of like, we're doing something right.
Absolutely.
You know?
Amazing.
And that's, if I were to lose, I'd probably just cry. I don't even know what I would do.
You'd figure it out.
I don't know.
You'd get it
what
done
if
the
I just,
next
I
year.
I just closed door. Fuck. No pressure, Good Foods. Just tell them to Gave it a go.
I'm pretty confident in your ability to keep raking these puppies in.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to seeing you back here next year.
Yes, please. We'll do a better interview. I won't drink as heavily prior.
Oh, you're doing great.
Okay, thank
you. You're
nailing
it in every way. Okay, so now I'm going to nail you with a hard question.
Uh-oh.
And just I want you to tell us what you feel is the most pressing food issue of 2018.
Gosh, you know, I got to say, for me personally, subsidies to help my ranchers get their meat to market in Oregon. You know, they're running, there's a lot of amazing ranchers that are trying to do the right thing that have been, be it if they're, you know, trying to put up outside different hoop barns to change their slatted floor raising of animals, where they could use like a USDA land grant or a farm grant, that money just hasn't been done because of the administration hasn't got the money to the people that need it. And that's, you know, it's kind of funny to joke that the Trump administration can't get shit done, and then when you hear the farmers being like, I need them to get shit done so we can actually grow our farm, and this year it's not happening. And so it's kind of just been a really, really stress where they want to up their, I need more pigs from them, but to do that they need the grant and the backing to do that, and they're still waiting on somebody to say they can have that money. It's kind of killing me.
Yeah. So what can listeners do to help change that?
Oh, God. I don't... well, definitely support the farmers directly. Okay. If you have a rancher or somebody doing it properly, please go to the... You know, use your local butcher as much as you possibly can, because these ranchers... Go to your farmer's market. Buy directly from your ranchers and your farmers so they get the largest margins on their product. Just go direct as much as humanly possible. Buy small. Do the right thing. Spend the extra money so the farmer actually gets it, because it really does make a difference. Because it really does make a difference.
Perfect. So final question, easy one.
Uh-huh.
Best bite you've had since you've been in San Francisco?
Well, I left early on Friday, and we didn't eat breakfast. We had a meeting, and we got here, and I didn't eat anything until like 1 or 2 o'clock, and we flew in, dropped off our bags, and went right to the Mission and got a burrito. And my God darn, tongue burrito was like, the first two bites, I was like, if somebody were to take this out of my hands, I'd fist fight them so fast. Like, it was so delicious and good. But product-wise, I just ate a Ritual chocolate that just blew my freaking little mind.
I love them.
I know, me too.
Which one did you have?
The one at one, the vanilla
the
bean
vanilla?
One, the Madagascar vanilla. And I'm not like a flavored chocolate dude, and it like, whoo, it was
nice.
Amazing.
Awesome.
That's up there.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, Eli, it's such a pleasure to see you and have you back on air with us.
Yay,
at
thanks
HRN.
So much for having me.
And
thanks
we can't
for
wait to have
you guys
you
do.
Back to Bushwick.
Yeah.
And we need to have a pizza date out there. And I hope we'll be seeing you in Portland this year, too.
Yeah, come out to Portland, everybody.
And I want to learn how to hunt from you at some point.
Let's do this. Come out in the fall during feast in September is perfect time to teach you how to shoot things.
Done.
Awesome. All right. Keep me on the list. I'm signed
up. Have a wonderful day, guys. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you very, very much. You've been listening to Heritage Radio Network on tour. I want to say a big thank you to the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts for supporting our show. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.